And what happens is that elephant, its entire life had a chain that was attached around its leg to a bolt that was in concrete. So this entire time, the life of this elephant was constantly trying to get away and couldn't, obviously. And this elephant grew up with this chain attached to its leg to this, bolt in the concrete, could never get away. And of course, this elephant grows up and just really stops trying to get away. And hence, this elephant grows up. We see him at the circus with this small rope that this elephant could very easily get away from, but has been torn down in life. And so that really, my mentor felt that that happened to him and happens to most people. But when he picked up the book, Thinking Grow Rich, at the same time in his life, he picked up the Bible. And when he got into network marketing, he failed miserably for years. But he finally decided to read the Bible and decided to read the book Think and Grow Rich. And he, was with a company in 1987, where he literally went from, being broke in life, to having a $75,000 month within 3 months of reading the Bible and Think and Grow Rich. When I met my mentor, he was in 1990. He had gone from making $75,000 a month to about $300,000 a month and started his own company in 1992. And he would get up on stage and the two books that he believed in, and I'm sure still believes in to this day, he always carried the Bible up on stage and he always carried Think and Grow Rich up on stage. And he would say, "This is the secret to life, and this book over here is the secret to wealth." And both of these books are intertwined, and they both have very similar meaning in them. And of course, if you read Think and Grow Rich, we understand that a lot of the philosophies are parallel. But he was very adamant that we read both of these books and have them ingrained in our life. And of course, when my mentor started his company and he went off to become a very, very, very wealthy man worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and is now retired to this day. And he actually would stand on stage and say to us folks, "I'm starting this company. I'm letting you know that I'm probably not going to be around here for 10 years because my goal for starting this company is to get wealthy and retire and go out and do other things. And I have a lot of philanthropic ideas and what I want to do in life and with people and helping out other people. And network marketing is just a stopgap for me." And he plainly told us, the running of this company is going to be up to you and up to the executive team. I will not be here in 10 years." And sure enough, he's not. He wasn't there in 10 years. And unfortunately, that company went out of business. But the point is that he used these two books to rise to stardom and in his universe. And he was very adamant that we all study and become practitioners of both of those books throughout the rest of our life. And they did amazing things for a lot of people, Paul. And that's how adamant he was, and that he knew that if we took possession of these books in our minds, what it would do for us in our life. And for all of us that do, make these two books part of our life and workbooks of our life, they do miraculous things for us.
Mr. Todd Young, thank you very much for being put on the spot this morning and sharing that story, because it is astounding, my friend. I love hearing that story of your mentor going from being totally broke in the network marketing industry to $75,000 a month within 3 months, and then on to hundreds of millions of dollars. And doing it through, with Think and Grow Rich as a pivotal point of his philosophy and his using it as his manual and actually packing that book around with him. And isn't it true that he encouraged you and everybody that was working with him to carry that book around in one hand and their contact list in the other hand?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, that was part of our psyche, and he, wherever we went, we had our book, Think and Grow Rich. It was almost like carrying around, if you were a woman, it's like carrying your purse. You didn't want to leave it at home. We had our, we called it our Rhino book. That was what we called it. And if you there's a book called Rhino Success, and the folks from Africa, in the countries of Africa, make shields made out of rhino skin. And, you know, that stops bullets and it stops arrows. And, you know, the rhino skin is very, very thick. And that was what he assimilated to us, why we should always carry around our list. And then we should always carry around our book, Think and Grow Rich, and just make it. I mean, that was our business. You know, that our list was our company and what we were doing. And of course, Think and Grow Rich was literally our Bible to our industry, whereas the Bible is, you know, the teachings in you know, at church for folks that are religious and otherwise and spiritual. So that was something that we always had, you know, and we went to trainings and it was amazing. You would see, you know, literally 6, 8, 10,000 people at our trainings, and these weren't conventions; these were trainings that we went to. And you know, my mentor would get up on stage and he would say, "Folks, you know, there might be 7,000 people in the room, but I want you to pretend that there's a, you know, a 1,000-foot boardroom table right here in the middle, and you all happen to be in my boardroom." And that's the way he ran his trainings. And they were strict, but they were strict for a reason, because people needed that strictness. They needed that mindset of, you know, hey, business is brutal. Business is brutal, and people out in life are brutal because they're going to try and stop you to do what you're doing. And if you don't believe that, turn on the TV set and watch the news and take a look at the socio-conscious people that are not business-minded. They're socialistic-minded, trying to stop us what we're trying to do here in this country. And he knew that many, many years ago. And so that was what he always wanted us to do. He wanted us to have a rock-solid mindset of what we were doing, to be completely focused, to have Think and Grow Rich by our side, consistently read it, consistently practice it, consistently make it a workbook, and do what is in the book. Don't just read it, do what's in the book, and have your contact list next to you. And it was amazing. We would actually go to trainings, recruit people, and put their names right there, right in our contact list, which we called our Rhino Book, which was somebody's name, telephone number. Back in those days, we didn't have email, but that was their name and telephone number, even maybe their mailing address, but comments as to you know, how you met them, and a little bit of a blurb about a little bit about their background, which would help with some commonality of that person. So when you called them back up, you could get into an easy conversation with them and make a friend with them and develop a relationship and introduce them, of course, into your business at some point in time. So that was very integral, and it created a mindset that, you know what? When it comes to money, you got to focus. You have to have that mindset of being in business 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Don't watch TV. Forget the distractions and focus on getting wealthy. And that's why I did it.
And one final question for you, Todd. That philosophy and that teaching, did it just make him wealthy, or did anyone else get wealthy along with him following in those footsteps?
Oh, I can assure you that there were many hundreds of people in that company, not just dozens, but hundreds of people in that company that went off to become very, very wealthy. You know, I made a nice little tiny income myself afterwards, and even out of the industry, I did well, and as did others, did very, very well after leaving that company. Quite a few people actually went out to start network marketing companies that actually even exist to this day and are doing extremely well. And also those teachings and those philosophies of the people that were actually in that company went off into traditional business and took those philosophies and that mindset and went off to become extremely successful in life and in business.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Todd, for sharing that. And just wanted to pull that out because it's one of the many countless examples of the millionaires that this book, Think and Grow Rich, has produced. And the very, very exciting thing is that we have this book within our hands on a daily basis that we can study, that we have the opportunity to make a manual in our lives and follow and learn from and extract and mold our lives and our action plans to what Dr. Hill laid out for us in this formula. And that, my friends, is something to get excited about. So with that wonderful introduction, let us jump into the continuation of our study of this book, Think and Grow Rich. We're going to continue on and finish the chapter on imagination. And we've got a story here to
hey,
launch
Paul.
Us. Yes.
Melvin here.
Go ahead,
can you hear
Melvin.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the story that he just told, the same story applies as far as what I experienced. not necessarily with the Bible portion, but with Think and Grow Rich. And the name of the program was it was called the Holiday Magic back then. And I'll tell you what you got out of that program and the way it was taught, and it just fits the same story. So I don't know how many people and how many programs did that with Think and Grow Rich, but powerful, powerful books. And not only did the people move on and become successful in many other endeavors, but many of them broke off and started programs, motivational programs, and teaching those principles and concepts. Very true, very powerful, and hopefully the same effect will take place with the people that are on this call and involved with these programs and reading that book. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you for that additional testimonial, Melvin. Love that. Thank you for sharing that. You know, one other thing that Melvin just reminded me of that I'll throw out here before we jump into the content here is we talked about on one of our other calls, I think it was last week, how there is no lack of information out there. What there is a lack of is the ability for people to assimilate and apply the information. We've got this condition where we're kind of addicted to information, and we're, you know, I mean, sitting right behind me in my office, I've got these two huge bookshelves full of books. And what sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to do is you go from book to 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 book and never really apply what we're learning. And I was talking to Todd the other day, and we were kind of chuckling at the fact that the vast majority of books that you'll read in the personal development and personal growth industry, absolutely all came from Think and Grow Rich. All have principles of Think and Grow Rich. They've just, you know, come up with a different spin on, you know, how they want to present the information. But they all have that foundation. There's not a lot of new stuff out there. And so one of the things that we can get in the habit of doing that's very powerful to help us close that knowing-doing gap is instead of jumping from book to book to book to book to from training course to training course to training course to training course is to hone in on some foundational literature and make it a course book, something that we study, something that we become a practitioner of, something that we're, you know, always looking for things to pull out and put into our action plan. That is one of the most powerful things that we can do. And this book, obviously, is definitely the place to start. So here's the first story. What I would do if I had $1 million. This story proves the truth of that old saying, where there's a will, there's a way. It was told to me by that beloved educator and clergyman, the late Frank W. Gonzalez, who began his preaching career in the Stockyards region of South Chicago. While Dr. Gonzalez was going through college, he observed many defects in our educational system, defects which he believed he could correct if he were the head of a college. His deepest desire was to become the directing head of an educational institution in which young men and women would be taught to learn by doing. He made up his mind to organize a new college in which he would carry out his ideas without being handicapped by orthodox methods of education. He needed $1 million to put the project across. Where was he to lay his hands on so large a sum of money? That was the question that absorbed most of this ambitious young preacher's thought. But he couldn't seem to make any progress. Every night he took that thought to bed with him. He got up with it in the morning. He took it with him everywhere he went. He turned it over and over in his mind until it became a consuming obsession with him. $1 million is a lot of money. He recognized that fact, but he also recognized the truth that the only limitation is that which one sets up in one's own mind. Being a philosopher as well as a preacher, Dr. Gonzalez recognized, as do all who succeed in life, that definiteness of purpose is the starting point from which one must begin. He recognized, too, that definiteness of purpose takes on animation, life and power when backed by a burning desire to translate that purpose into its material equivalent. He knew all these great truths, and yet he did not know where or how to lay his hands on $1 million. The natural procedure would have been to give up and quit by saying, "Ah, well, my idea is a good one, but I cannot do anything with it because I can never procure the necessary $1 million. That is exactly what the majority of people would have said, but it is not what Dr. Gonzalez said. What he said and what he did are so important that I now introduce him and let him speak for himself. One Saturday afternoon, I sat in my room thinking of ways and means of raising the money to carry out my plans. For nearly 2 years, I had been thinking, but I had done nothing but think. The time had come for action. I made up my mind then and there that I would get the necessary $1 million within a week. How? I was not concerned about that. The main thing of importance was the decision to get the money within a specified time. And I want to tell you that the moment I reached a definite decision to get the money within a specified time, a strange feeling of assurance came over me, such as I had never before experienced. Something inside me seemed to say, "Why didn't you reach that decision a long time ago? The money was waiting for you all the time." Things began to happen in a hurry. I called the newspapers and announced I would preach a sermon the following morning entitled, "What I Would Do If I Had $1 Million." I went to work on the sermon immediately, but I must tell you, frankly, the task was not difficult because I had been preparing that sermon for almost 2 years. The spirit back of it was a part of me. Long before midnight, I had finished writing the sermon. I went to bed and slept with a feeling of confidence, for I could see myself already in possession of the $1 million. Next morning, I arose early, went into the bathroom, read the sermon, then knelt on my knees and asked that my sermon might come to the attention of someone who would supply the needed money. While I was praying, I again had the feeling of assurance that the money would be forthcoming. In my excitement, I walked out without my sermon and did not discover the oversight until I was in my pulpit and about ready to begin delivering it. It was too late to go back for my notes, and what a blessing that I couldn't go back. Instead, my own subconscious mind yielded the material I needed. When I arose to begin my sermon, I closed my eyes and spoke with all my heart and soul of my dreams. I not only talked to my audience, but I fancy I talked also to God. I told what I would do with $1 million if that amount were placed in my hands. I described the plan I had in mind for organizing a great educational institution where young people would learn to do practical things and at the same time develop their minds. When I had finished and sat down, a man slowly arose from his seat about 3 rows from the rear and made his way toward the pulpit. I wondered what he was going to do. He came into the pulpit, extended his hand, and said, "Reverend, I liked your sermon. I believe you can do everything you said you would if you had $1 million. To prove that I believe in you and your sermon, if you will come to my office tomorrow morning, I will give you the $1 million. My name is Philip D. Armour." Young Gonzalez went to Mr. Armour's office, and the $1 million was presented to him. With the money, he founded the Armour Institute of Technology. That is more money than the majority of preachers ever see in an entire lifetime. Yet the thought impulse back of the money was created in the young preacher's mind in a fraction of a minute. The necessary $1 million came as a result of an idea. Back of the idea was a desire, which young Gonzalez had been nursing in his mind for almost 2 years. Observe this important fact. He got the money within 36 hours after he reached a definite decision in his own mind to get it and decided upon a definite plan for getting it. There was nothing new or unique about young Gonzalez's vague thinking about $1 million and weakly hoping for it. Others before him and many since his time have had similar thoughts. But there was something very unique and different about the decision he reached on that memorable Saturday when he put vagueness into the background and definitely said, "I will get that money within a week." God seems to throw himself on the side of the man who knows exactly what he wants if he is determined to get just that. Moreover, the principle through which Dr. Gonzalez got his $1 million is still alive. It is available to you. This universal law is as workable today as it was when the young preacher made use of it so successfully. This book describes step by step the 13 elements of this great law and suggests how they may be put to use. Observe that Asa Candler and Dr. Frank Gonzalez had one characteristic in common. Both knew the astounding truth that ideas can be transmuted into cash through the power of definite purpose plus definite plans. If you are one of those who believe that hard work and honesty alone will bring riches, perish the thought. It is not true. Riches, when they come in huge quantities, are never the result of hard work. Riches come, if they come at all, in response to definite demands, based upon the application of definite principles and not by chance or luck. Generally speaking, an idea is an impulse of thought that impels action by an appeal to the imagination. All master salesmen know that ideas can be sold where merchandise cannot. Ordinary salesmen do not know this. That is why they are ordinary. A publisher of books which sell for a nickel made a discovery that should be worth much to publishers generally. He learned that many people buy titles and not contents of books. By merely changing the name of one book that was not moving, his sales on that book jumped upward more than 1 million copies. The inside of the book was not changed in any way. He merely ripped off the cover, bearing the title that did not sell, and put a new cover with a title that had box office value. That, as simple as it may seem, was an idea. It was imagination. There is no standard price on ideas. The creator of ideas makes his own price, and if he is smart, gets it. The moving picture industry created a whole flock of millionaires. Most of them were men who couldn't create ideas, but they had the imagination to recognize ideas when they saw them. The next flock of millionaires will grow out of the radio business, which is new and not overburdened with men of keen imagination. The money will be made by those who discover or create new and more meritorious radio programs and have the imagination to recognize merit and to give the radio listeners a chance to profit by it. The story of practically every great fortune starts with the day when a creator of ideas and a seller of ideas got together and worked in harmony. Carnegie surrounded himself with men who could do all that he could not do, men who created ideas and men who put ideas into operation, and made himself and the others fabulously rich. Millions of people go through life hoping for favorable breaks. Perhaps a favorable break can get one an opportunity, but the safest plan is not to depend upon luck. It was a favorable break that gave me the biggest opportunity of my life, but 25 years of determined effort had to be devoted to that opportunity before it became an asset. The break consisted of my good fortune in meeting and gaining the cooperation of Andrew Carnegie. On that occasion, Carnegie planted in my mind the idea of organizing the principles of achievement into a philosophy of success. Thousands of people have profited by the discoveries made in the 25 years of research, and several fortunes have been accumulated through the application of the philosophy. The beginning was simple. It was an idea which anyone might have developed. The favorable break came through Carnegie, but what about the determination, definiteness of purpose, and the desire to attain the goal, and the persistent effort of 25 years? It was no ordinary desire that survived disappointment, discouragement, temporary defeat, criticism, and the constant reminding of waste of time. It was a burning desire, an obsession. When the idea was first planted in my mind by Mr. Carnegie, it was coaxed, nursed, and enticed to remain alive. Gradually, the idea became a giant under its own power, and it coaxed, nursed, and drove me, ideas are like that. First, you give life and action and guidance to ideas. Then they take on power of their own and sweep aside all opposition. Ideas are intangible forces, but they have more power than the physical brains that give birth to them. They have the power to live on after the brain that creates them has returned to the dust. For example, take the power of Christianity. That began with a simple idea born in the brain of Christ. Its chief tenet was, "Do unto others as you would have them do, as you would have others do unto you." Christ has gone back to the source from which he came, but his idea goes marching on. Someday it may grow up and come into its own. Then it will have fulfilled Christ's deepest desire. The idea has been developing only 2,000 years. Give it time. Success requires no explanations. Failure permits no alibis. I'm going to open up the lines here. Star 6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear your thoughts on today's content.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, team. This is John Chapman giving you a call from my walk. And I have to tell you, I am so pumped. I am so jazzed about life because every morning I get to wake up and I get to be in the company of folks who are out there doing it every day. Now, the subject matter of today's call, taking action, I just want to throw this out there so that whoever needs to share it can. When I started to really plug in to this call and actually implement the lessons and the teachings and the principles, everything changed. Literally, everything changed. Last month, first month promoting a primary business of mine, I recruited 5 folks personally. Now, if you take a look at the average number of people that a representative will recruit over their network marketing career being 2.7, then you can really say that I did someone's career twice over in 1 month. But the really crazy thing about that is, and the thing that absolutely blows my mind, is that I was speaking to a friend of mine, and he says to me, "Yeah, I do about 17 per month." And it was like no big thing. And that just really goes to show how powerful our mindset really is and the power of a decision. If you decide right here, right now, you stand up from the tops of the mountains and you scream in your heart, and maybe you want to do it right outside. I won't do it here just because that would not be cool. But if you decide and you scream, freedom, freedom, freedom from worry, freedom from financial bondage, freedom, you will have it. Yesterday, I believe it was Todd. He said something, and it, quite frankly, I thought about it all day long. He said 2 words, and this is what I want to deliver to whoever it is that needs to hear it. The 2 words that Todd said were, "Leaders speak." Leaders speak, okay? Be who you are. Be the person that you were meant to become. Make that decision. Stand up and speak. I hope you guys have a fantastic day.
Mr. John Chapman, very stirring words this morning. Thank you for sharing. Truly appreciate you. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, my friend. Wonderful, Mr. Hutchings. How are you?
Incredible, amazing, Mr. Rick Martin. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much. I would be looking for the person. Yeah, I love it. You know,
We're getting some feedback on the line here. Is that? Let me mute the. Rick Martin, hit star 6, please, just you, and we'll make sure that line is clean so we can hear your message clearly.
Yes, yes, fantastic. I am back, and I wanted to follow up on the initial talk that Todd Young had this morning, and really want to commend you for bringing that out. It's a great way to preface the talk. And we know today that the difference between an idea and a belief is the amount of references. The amount of references rooted deeply in our consciousness. We start to believe stuff when we see it enough, often enough. We start to believe it. That could easily chop it up to repetition, repeating stuff where you start to believe. When you start to take action, you started to believe. When you start to ride a bicycle and you go through the stumble and you started to see yourself, things are getting better, you're moving forward progressively, you start to believe it's possible for you. What I want to say is this, what Todd said, I have met so many people in the network marketing business, and I'm talking people that made millions, and they reference those two books, Think and Grow Rich and the Bible. There are also references to another book called How to Win Friends and Influence People, those three books. And so what happens is that repetition, when you start to hear it, you hear it from Todd this morning. You hear it from other people on the call. You start hearing it, and you start to see these strands, like strands of a rope. It's forming. It's taking shape. Sometimes we see things. We see things happen once. Well, or somebody come and tell you something happened. You may not initially believe it, but then you start to see. You start to think about it. It's in the back of your mind. It's not in the forefront. But then, boom, something else come, and you said, well, I heard that. I heard that. Somebody else said that the other day. I heard Paul said that. Boom, I heard Todd said that. Boom, I heard Melvin said that. Now, what starts to happen, it starts to create those lands and grooves in your brain. This is scientific. And so you start to develop a belief because of that repetition in mind. You see, the programming. It's so important because when you start, that's why association with the people you hang around with is so important. That average they talk about, I don't think a lot of people believe this, that you're the sum total on the average of the five most influential people you hang around with every single day. It's so important that we understand this and start to believe these things. And you see, what's going to happen if you don't really believe it now? You hang around, and it'll become a belief because, you see, the moment you start to think about something and you start to give it attention, things you start to attract. Things will start leading you into the direction you're pointing because of that goal-striving mechanism. That's how it works. That's exactly how it works. Friends, you don't dispute it. It's irrefutable evidence everywhere. Everywhere you go, the evidence is irrefutable. Like the day follow the night. Incredible. You open up your hearts and your mind and says, I'm sick and tired, I'm sick and tired. You look for the references. The reference is out there. You see, the habits, we are the habits. If where you are today, it's not where you want to be, I'm not going to even ask you to change your habits. Start to pick up new ones. you won't even have time for the other ones, because that thought process, when you start to give it shape, when you start to give it time, it's going to start to take shape. And those habits are going to become rooted in your belief system. You develop principles, principles so rooted that nobody can shake you. You develop that rhino skin. I'm telling you, friends, if you don't have deep-rooted principles, then anybody else's principle will pull you around like a puppet. You're not the only puppets on this line, I don't believe. Principles, not quick fixes, not nostrums. It's going to build you. Your kids around you, a good identifier is listen to what you say to your kids. If you have kids on this line, and check yourself and make sure you don't follow the nonsense where don't do what I do, but do what I say. And you start to believe you're the number one hypocrite in the world. Remember the things you said to your kids. Watch the people you hang around with. There's a reason you believe that. How about believing that for yourself? It's a simple guide to check yourself every day about this. What am I telling my kids? Why am I telling them this? Because you believe that. Well, make sure you believe it for yourself. It's very important. And one more thing. One more thing I want to point out here. Todd mentioned something about his contact list. You know, in business, you can think about intellectual capital. You can think about the physical capital. My friends, the number one capital today in all area of life is your contacts. Your capital is the quality of contacts you have will determine your compensation in the world. The quality of the relationships you have with those contacts will determine the level of success in life. Friends, you can look around everywhere for the references, and you'll realize that is the key. Right back to you, Paul.
Powerful thoughts as always, Mr. Rick Martin. Truly appreciate you being on here every morning, sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us on the call. Love you, my friend. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul. Good morning, everybody. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Doc Fran.
You know, isn't it cool to start out every day with just powerhouse ideas, thoughts, and stories here that really prove fabulous points. And Todd, thank you for your wisdom and guidance again, yet again. You have been blessed with mentors in your life, and now you are paying it forward by being an outstanding mentor for every one of us on the call. And I love Rick's words. And what I was struck by is the power of the actual story here today. And I want to kind of bring it down to understanding how this applies to each and every one of us right now in real time in our life. There can be kind of a rebound effect when you read these stories about people who had an idea and had it then transform and manifest into millions of dollars, major affluence, major abundance, way beyond what most of us are allowing ourselves to believe is possible for ourselves. It can actually have a little bit of a daunting effect. And so I had a call yesterday from a partner in my company, and he was looking for some coaching on how to deal with a partner of his that was being quite successful in his business and who prospected a person who then immediately became the dream stealer for this guy. And whereas he had been completely excited and positive and successful and moving forward and creating his business, all of a sudden this person starts dumping all of this negativity in his mind. He started going on and finding on the internet every possible negative thing about the company that this gentleman was promoting to him. And it caved him in a little bit, and he got really nervous. And, of course, once you go into confusion or doubt, you stop. But fortunately, he had the wisdom to, you know, go upline to his sponsor and say, hey, I'm having this problem. What do you think about this? I want to start sending you this stuff. So his friend said, his sponsor said, well, tell me something first before you start sending me all this stuff, which I probably don't want to read. Tell me about the person who's sending it to you. And it turns out that the person who is suddenly the major influence in this guy's life, the major mentor, guide, and teacher, is a 33-year-old broke guy who has no job and who's living in an apartment with his mother. And I said, well, you know, I think the handling here is really pretty clear. All we have to do is ask your friend, your partner, your frontline guy, you know, let me ask you a question. Why on earth would you be taking advice from a 33-year-old broke guy with no job who's living in an apartment with his mother? Is that the person that you want leading you to where the next part of your life is going to be? Is this really what you see for yourself in the future? So the point is that every person in these books and these stories that we hear had an idea, and they brought that idea before somebody. And in these stories, that somebody happened to be a person of means who gravitated and understood the idea and helped them further it and promote it. But what I want to look at and what struck me today as I was hearing this is, how's this for your idea? Whatever company you are in, that is your idea. You saw that idea as a means of moving to the abundance that we all see. Purpose of our call, folks, how do we maximize our money income from the businesses that we're in? So what if we view the company that we've joined as our idea? It was an inspiration. It is a divine knowingness. And it is right for you if you allow it to be right for you. And if we view the people that we associate with that further our idea as the people that we're sharing our idea with who have the ability to help make it real for you. And when you look at the organization that you're bringing along behind you, those are the very people that are going to allow you to convert your idea into the abundance that you choose it to be if you remain surrounded only by the people who lift you up, further your purpose, support your resolve, and move you towards that abundance. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Doc Fran. Wow, powerful words, my friend. Really, truly appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Star 6, who's next?
This is Frank from Delaware. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Frank, doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great also. I really appreciated what Doc Fran just talked about. It really coincides with one of the two spiritual books that the gentleman that Todd was talking about used, the Bible, where it says in Corinthians that bad associations spoil useful habits. That's the importance of this phone call every morning, because we want to associate with the other winners, and we want to associate with the people that can drive us forward, and instead of associating ourselves with people who live in an apartment with their mom and they're broke and 33 years old, and you know, there's a lot of those people out there as well. But if you associate with those people, that's the path that you're going to take. If you associate with people that are winners, like on this phone call every morning, if we start off our day with good associations, it's going to breed that good habit in our brain, and we're going to move forward in this business, and we're going to open up a whole new universe for ourselves.
Back to you, Paul.
Frank, thank you so much for sharing that. You just pointed out that the philosophy and the concept that we hear many times, which is, you know, associate with those that, you know, if you want to know what your income is, look at the top five people that you associate with. And so the other line that Liz shared with us a couple of weeks ago, love everybody all the time, but only hang with those that lift you up. That's actually biblically based. I didn't know that. Frank, thank you. Bad associations spoil useful habits. Brilliant. Star six, who's next? I know, tough acts to follow. Star six, come on out.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Melody.
I think this brings into understanding for me, because my sister brought me on this call, because I always discern whether it lines up with the Bible or not. And the Bible says, above all, get understanding. And the thing can grow rich in these powerhouse thinking. Bring understanding to the Bible, so it makes it more doable, and it does line up. So, thank you, and back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melody, and very, very powerful line you shared. Above all, get understanding. Get understanding. Take the head knowledge, turn it into the heart knowledge. How does it go from head to heart? We take action and we apply. We close the knowing-doing gap. We pull that information, we apply it into our daily action plan. We experience temporary setback. We plow through it. We experience what it's like to have faith that's pulling us through whatever temporary setback comes in our way. Above all, get understanding. Get the heart knowledge. Powerful. Thank you, Melody. Really appreciate that. Star six, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
It's Paul Hutchins. Can you hear me?
Yes, I think Melvin was first, and then the second gentleman there.
Paul, I did miss a little bit of the conversation here because I had to break away for a minute. But I'm hearing a lot being mentioned about the Bible and church and all. And I just want to say that I'm in touch with several people that I've seen they're going to the church and they're reading the Bible has done so much to hurt or take them away or mess their heads up that it's unreal. And I think that a lot of times it's who's presenting something, because there are people that when I listen to their beliefs and what they're saying and what they're doing and where they are, it's almost it's pitiful. I go to some there's some churches I've gone to, and the amount of obesity and the amount of poverty and the amount of not taking responsibility, but it's, you know, everything's in God's hands. I say to myself, this information is so off base. So I just wanted to throw that out to say that we've got to constantly be thinking clear. We need some clear thoughts, and we need not buy into or accept everything that's put out there. We need to learn how to decipher. So with that, back to you, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate those thoughts, Melvin. And above all, get understanding. Just very, very perfect there. Thank you, Melvin and Melody. Who is the other gentleman there that was coming out there with Melvin?
Good morning, everyone. This is James Bess. How are you, Paul?
Hey, good morning, James. Doing great. How are you today?
Oh, always wonderful. Every day is a wonderful one. Just wanted to say quickly that I have been missing this call, and I am so, so glad to be back. There's a saying that you can't miss what you never had, and that is not true at all. You will miss, you know, what you don't have, because it can hurt you. And what you had and you don't have anymore, you really realize how much you miss it. But just wanted to comment on a couple of things. There's a
He has a tape that's out. He has a CD that's out, and I don't remember the gentleman's name. I was trying to look for it, but it says, never accept advice from anyone worse off than you are. And I believe that because when the gentleman was saying about the gentleman that kind of brought his spirits down, that Doc Fran was talking about, that directs exactly to that. You never take advice from anyone that's in a worse-off situation than you are in. But with this call every morning, this is how we get our mind right. This is how we set our day up. And this is how we learn from those that are doing the things that we want to do. So if we want to get to those points, we have to grab onto the coattails of others that are, you know, that have what we want. And it comes a lot from, like we were saying, like, you know, a lot of people are referencing the Bible and different things like that. But until you have the faith that, you know, whatever you're going after is going to be yours, that's what's going to create your belief. That's what's going to create your drive, your inspiration. So you have to, you know, have the faith that what I, you know, desire and what I want is already mine. So I just wanted to say that really quickly. This call, like I said, it sets up your day, it sets up your mindset, and it's definitely needed. It's definitely needed because we get to hear from the people that are, you know, having success and being successful in the things that we want. And not everybody can do, you know, multi-level marketing, but the ones that grab a hold to it and really put their efforts into it, yes, that will show the outcome, and it'll show from the teaching that they've had. So I just wanted to you know, add that, and back to you, Paul.
Mr. James Best, welcome back to the call. Great to hear your voice, and great to hear those wonderful thoughts this morning. Who told you it couldn't be done, and what great achievement has he to his credit that qualifies him to judge your ability? Dr. Napoleon Hill, I'll take advice from you if you're making more money than me. Todd Nuclear Young. Star 6, who's next?
Paul Todd Young.
Hey, good morning, Todd.
Good morning to all. I wanted to, you know, segue one of the things that Melvin said, but I also want to pretense that what an amount of wisdom that is spoken up on this call today. You know, from what John first started out saying, and Doc Fran, who to me is the oracle of life and somebody who is so wise, I just feel so grateful for being on this call with everybody. Doc Fran, Melvin, the things that you say are very profound, and Frank and Melody, thanks for speaking up. Rick Martin, my dear friend, love hearing your voice every morning. I just feel like I just get on this call because I want to hear all your voices. It just lifts me up and just gets me going for the day. I love being a part of this team. And, you know, one of the things about the Bible and people going to church is that, you know, those folks are life practitioners. Here in this, you know, on this call, we're Think and Grow Rich practitioners. And the folks that go to church, those folks are life practitioners because, you know, they know in their own minds that they commit a sin in their own mind. And so they go to church to read the Bible to better themselves. And so they are better life practitioners. They are, quote unquote, how to treat people better and ourselves better practitioners. And the reason why we see people that are going to church that are heavily upset and doing wrong things in life is because they have not closed that knowing-doing gap from where they are in life and what they're reading in the Bible. And you have to learn how to extrapolate the information and the stories in the Bible and how they apply to you in your life. And so that knowing-doing gap, so when people, you know, why are so many folks that go to church, you know, why are they heavy? Why are they still doing bad things? Why are they still sinners? Well, because they've read a lot of this information, but they haven't practiced it. They haven't become permanent in their mind through repetition of doing the right thing. And by reading and going to church, that's why as we get older, we become more wise. As we older, we learn that we don't know what we don't know. We learn that, you know, we don't know much. I myself am at the bottom of the totem pole. You know, we all have so far to go. And extrapolating what is proper in the Bible and becoming a life practitioner, there are so many stories in the Bible that relate to just, hey, you know what? It's just how you treat yourself and how you treat other people and other philosophies that are so important. So, folks, don't stop reading the Bible. Don't stop going to church. It, you know, if that is what makes you a better person, and ultimately it will, because you have to understand that most people are not extrapolating that information properly but you can. And it is life, period, end of story. So if you see people are going to church, they're still doing the wrong things, it's because they just haven't, their awareness is not there yet. Their spiritual awareness has not grown through their lack of action with what they're learning in that book. Here in this call, what we're talking about, even with this chapter, the imagination, the imagination is the it's the starting port of all fortunes. And the imagination is literally the workshop in which all man's plans are created. Desire is given shape, form, and action with its aid. Of course, we have the synthetic imagination. We have the creative imagination. The great leaders of this world, industry, finance, the arts, all became great because they developed this faculty of the creative imagination. And some of the things that we should do as a practical lesson is to think, visualize, and fantasize our dreams. You know, our minds, your imagination faculty can become weak through inaction. Just like people's minds are weak through not practicing what's in the Bible, same thing here. It can be revived, though, and made alert through use, just like your muscles. If you have atrophy, that's why people go into space. They have to work out constantly because they have to work their muscles. Same thing here on Earth. Your brain, same thing. You've got to work your brain constantly. Work it out. And by doing that here in the practical way to do that here in this chapter that we just read through the imagination – is to, get out a piece of paper, and, a lot of people buy lottery tickets, but just imagine that you just won the $100 million lottery. I mean, of course, your first thought is you got very excited, but you know what? Put on a piece of paper and be extremely specific what you would do with that $100 million. You put two pieces of paper, if you would. Don't be shy about what you would do with that money, and just make a very long list of what you would do with that money. Now imagine what your life would be like if you bought and got all those things and did all those things with all that money and all your goals were met. And what would you do? What would your ideal existence be after that? Think about that. It's very profound. Don't limit yourself to your financial aspirations. What would your career be like? What would you be doing? What would your relationships be like? What would you do in your leisure time? How would you help out other people? Be detailed in writing these things down of what you would do. Imagine that you actually took care of your money. You took care of all your goals. What would your aspirations be then? What would your strategies in life be then? But see, we don't have a chance to think about those things because right now we're worried about paying our bills. And we're worried about, and so that worry prohibits us from going forward and exercising our minds with the imagination. So by going and writing things down, part of the exercising of your mind is write down what would you do if you won $100 million and write a long list. Then what if you achieve those things? What if you had bought all that stuff? What if you helped out your mom and your dad and you bought them a house and you got your new cars and you helped out all your friends and you put millions of dollars in the bank accounts of everybody that you knew and you achieved all the goals that you wanted? What would you do then? And that's a very good exercise with regards to this chapter. Paul, back to you.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful closing thoughts, my friend and my friends. Today, I am so grateful that there are people in the world that are more enlightened than I, so that I can strive to raise my level of consciousness on a daily basis. And I am grateful that there are people in the world who may have false beliefs and may be less enlightened than I, so that I can strive to reach my hand down and lift others up. Folks, be grateful for everything. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm grateful for each of you. I'm grateful for the knowledge you impart to me. Let us get out there today. Be grateful. Have love in our hearts. Move forward on our plan. Have faith. Plow through temporary setback. Take action today, my friends, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Love each of you. Take care. Bye-bye.